All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Been doing a little study so I know what true love is. I want to revisit our Family God's Way study here tonight. As we look at true love here this evening. It's not what a lot of people think. In fact, I would be safe to say it's not what most people think. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's look at God's description of love as an introduction here tonight. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Drop down to verse 13 just for the sake of time. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I've been doing some reading and a book by an independent Baptist, Dr. Jim Binney. It's called Marriage Assurance, and it's actually a workbook based on a book that he wrote. And he shared this story that was very interesting in that book. During the Vietnam War, a young soldier stepped on a landmine which ripped both legs and one arm from his body. While lying in his own blood, he was hit by friendly napalm, severely burning his body. I learned of his plight from a friend who had witnessed his last hours in a Tokyo hospital. The soldier's greatest fear was not the specter of facing life as a cripple, or even the pain of surgery and rehabilitation. His primary concern was how this would affect his upcoming marriage to the girl of his dreams. His fiancée, while not aware of the full extent of his injuries, had learned of his hospitalization and was making her way to Tokyo to see her beloved. On his part, he feared her arrival, imagining the worst. His fears were not unfounded. When she walked into his hospital room and saw a stump of a man with only one arm, a charred, blackened face with oozing wounds from melted facial features and swollen head, she stood in silent shock while she took it all in. Without saying a word, she removed her engagement ring from her hand, placed it on the foot of his bed, spun on her heels, and strode out of the room and out of his life. For 24 hours, he said nothing while weeping constantly. Then he died. His death, said the doctors, was not from his wounds, but from his will. He no longer desired to live and simply gave up. He died from a broken heart. Now, I want you to think about something. That couple, at one time, would have said they were in love. After all, they were engaged to be married. They were in love. Were they? In a biblical sense. I want you to consider several things here about love tonight. First of all, it's not natural. Wait a minute. Love seems natural. No, it's not natural. It does not just happen. I want you to consider true love does not just happen. Because if it was natural, God would not have to command us to love. It is a command in the Word of God. It does not come naturally. Some examples. Ephesians 5:2 says we are to walk in love. That's a command. Ephesians 5:25 says that the husband is commanded to love his wife. Titus 2:4 says that wives are commanded to love their husband and children. The Bible says we are to love one another. So in reality, love is spiritual. It is not natural. In fact, Christian counselor Dr. Ed Wheat said, if you do what comes naturally, you'll be wrong almost every time. If we do what comes naturally in relation to love, we will do what's wrong almost every time. Consider also, love can grow cold. Why? Because sin will affect love. When we allow sin into a relationship, I want you to consider that our love can grow cold. You don't need to turn there, but Matthew 24:12 says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In fact, I did some checking on that word love, and that's agape. The agape of many will grow cold. Agape love with sin can grow cold. Love is not always certain. It can grow cold. Love is not an emotion. That's what our world thinks it is. It's some feeling. You know, after all, I feel a lot of things. Okay, you feel a lot of things, but I want you to consider that many people are addicted to the euphoria and ecstasy of romantic love. It's like a drug to many people. You don't believe me? You look at how many people go from one relationship to another looking for that euphoria and ecstasy. Love is an act of the will. It's not a feeling. I want you to consider that feelings will follow when I act like I'm in love. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13 that we just read says, love never, charity never faileth. Feelings often will change. And that's why I warn constantly about the dating game. I really believe the dating game is dangerous for a long-term relationship. Amen. In reality, what happens in dating is infatuation, not love. Infatuation is a temporary attraction. In fact, it was very interesting as I was doing some reading on this. Half of teen marriages end in divorce within 5 years. Why? Because they did not have God's kind of love in that relationship. Also, love is not conditional. True love is not conditional. Conditional love says this: I love you because. All right, so you fill in the blank as far as our world is concerned. You know, a guy might say, I love you because you're pretty. The girl might say, I love you because you're handsome or you're muscular. Or someone might say, I love you because you make me feel special. That's conditional love. Or I love you if. All right, so if you make me feel good, you make me happy, I love you. If you meet my expectations, I love you. That is self-centered love. That's conditional love. I want you to consider another form of love is I love you in spite of. There is not one person who is perfect other than God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In fact, there's not anyone who's ever walked on this earth that's been perfect except for the Lord Jesus Christ. I love you in spite of your failure. I love you in spite of your imperfections. Now, I don't believe that somebody should be blind to those things. But unconditional love says, I love you in spite of your imperfections. You think about how God loves us. God commendeth his love toward us, what? In that, after we clean up our life, he loved us, right? God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died on the cross knowing that he was dying for sinners. That's unconditional love. Also, love is not measurable. No one but God has reached a level of perfect love. Notice with me 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I do not believe it's wise to fall in love. Because a fall is never really good, you know. It hurts, you know. It's also humiliating at times. I remember in Bible college, every once in a while, this fall comes back to my mind. After I went to the cafeteria to eat on Sunday morning, there was a bus sitting there from one of the churches ready to haul the students off to church. And it was a little bit icy that morning, and so I walked on the sidewalk. And I was okay with that, but then I turned up the driveway toward the dorm. And as soon as I turned, I went wham. I just went face first down. I mean, yes, that hurt falling, but it was more the fact that it was humiliating. There's possibly a whole bunch of people in that bus right there saw me fall flat on my face. Falling is never really good. So we need to be growing in love, not falling in love. Notice with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. The Lord make you to increase and abound. Notice these descriptive words here. Increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Also, notice Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. So we need to be growing and abounding in our love. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. While you're turning, let me read verse 8 to give us a little bit of the context. As he's praying here, he's giving his prayer request to the church at Philippi. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound, notice abundance, abound yet more and more, and not the way the world expresses it, Notice here, we're to abound in this love in knowledge and in all judgment. I want you to consider here that God wants our love to be growing. Now, as you think about different types of love, I believe our world is totally confused about what love is all about. And in many cases, I believe we have followed the cultural influences in regard to our understanding of love. And just by way of introduction of this, I want you to consider here the example of Barbara DeAngelis. Barbara DeAngelis is one of the highest paid marriage therapists and self-avowed experts on the subject of love in this century, averaging $1 million a year. Strangely, she has been married 5 times. First to her transcendental meditation teacher, second to a magician, Doug Henning, whom she divorced because we were totally incompatible, according to her words. Then she married John Gray, and this is humorous. John Gray is another relationship expert, famous for writing, you probably have heard of his book, Men Are from Mars and Women Are from Venus. Well, Barbara and John Gray married, and they parted ways. Her fifth husband made her gush, "I feel like I've been married for the first time." And then, it's interesting, Brother Benny then adds this. This reminds me of the woman who married a banker, an actor, a clothes designer, and an undertaker. One for the money, 2 for the show, 3 to get ready, and 4 to go. DeAngelis has an immediate answer for those who question her marriage guru status when she can't seem to keep marriages together herself. Then she says, "Who would you rather learn how to make a souffle from?" she asks. "The guy who made it perfectly the first time, or the one who had it fall a number of times and learned from that?" Then Brother Benny adds, "Perhaps that analogy needs adjusting. Who would you rather learn how to repair a car from? The guy whose last 4 repairs exploded and killed all the occupants? Or the guy whose cars all run safely?" I want you to consider that in many cases, people have a wrong idea of love because of cultural influences. Notice with me Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. So why is it that people are going to somebody who's on their 5th marriage to learn about marriage? How to make a marriage work? I want you to consider that these cultural influences have corrupted our thinking in regard to what true love is. It says in Colossians 2, verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men." There's why. There's why so many have a wrong idea of love, and they're wrecking and ruining their relationships because of it. So where do people get their concept of love? Movies and television? How many people have their idea of love from a soap opera? I think we'd be shocked to understand that. Many get their ideas about love from a romance novel. I've told you, I'm not a big fan of romance novels because as that woman is reading this book about Mr. Perfect, her husband is not Mr. Perfect, and so she becomes very discontented and dissatisfied with her husband. All others get it from talk shows. You think about Dr. Laura. Dr. Laura is not, Dr. Phil, whoever it is. They are not the counselors for marriages. But in many cases, I believe it's also from music in our society, music in our culture. Rock music and country music will have their love songs. And it's nothing but perversion. And then, of course, this song that was big in Christian hits years ago, "It Can't Be Wrong When It Feels So Right." Why? Because you light up my life. Boy, that's such profound spiritual concepts. But it's all based on feelings. That's our understanding of love. Now, there's 3 primary types of love as far as Scripture is concerned. First of all, eros. Eros is a fleshly, sensual type of love. We also could call it lust. And it's rooted in selfishness or my needs. Now, the problem with eros is it declines with age and loss of physical attraction. Why is it that so many get divorced after a few years into their marriage? It's because they all get older. Let me back up a little more and say, Why is it that so many are getting divorced after their children are gone? Why do we hear so many divorces in middle age? I mean, they're together for 20 plus years and then I'm out of here. I want you to notice 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to look at this entire passage for the sake of time, but I want to emphasize something here. The Bible calls what Amnon had toward his half-sister love. That's what the Bible calls it. It's love. But that's this type of fleshly, sensual type of love. In fact, some of the words that are used as far as Amnon is concerned, he was vexed and he was even sick. He pretended to be sick. But the Bible word, again, I emphasize, is love. But here's what I want you to consider. After he forced himself upon his half-sister, notice here it says the hatred that Amnon had afterwards was greater than the love that he had first. I want you to consider that's what happens with eros, fleshly type of love. And again, it declines with age and loss of physical attraction. That's the type of love that Hugh Hefner had. That's the type of love that he had in marrying somebody who was 60 years younger than him. I really believe that Hugh Hefner is suffering in hell today. I believe that with all my heart. He was a wicked, wicked man. But yet he was exalted. Oh, he was rich. He was famous. Another type of love is phileo. Let's read John chapter 21. John 21. Phileo is emotional friendship love. It's a friendship type of love. That's why we call Philadelphia the city of brotherly love. Phileo is tested by misunderstandings and differences. Now, I want you to consider here that there's two Greek words for love in this passage. It says here in verse 14, now this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. Now, I want you to consider, again, this points out here that there's more than one type of love, and we need to examine as to what type of love we have in our lives and our relationships. It says in verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That's the Greek word agapao, a form of agape type of love, God's type of love. So he's asking Peter, do you have agape for me? Do you have agape love? Now you notice here, Peter answers, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. I have a friendship love for thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. I so show me your friendship, your love for me. Verse 16. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, agape thou me. Do you love me with God's kind of love? Notice it says in verse 16, Peter's answer. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I phileo thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, it's interesting. Jesus actually turns this on Peter now. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, phileo thou me. Do you have friendship love for me? Peter was grieved. Now, part of the reason why he was grieved, not just because Jesus was asking him constantly, but I believe because Jesus was asking him about his level of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you even have phileo love for me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, phileo thou me? Lovest thou me with friendship type of love? He said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I phileo thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And of course, Peter tries to take the heat off of himself. And what about John? He's like, let's stop talking about me, Jesus. Let's talk about John. Let's talk about somebody else now. So eros, phileo, and then agape. Agape is selfless love. It's the highest form of love. Of course, John 3:16 is an example. For God so what? Agape the world. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I want you to consider that God's love is not rooted in feelings. There's no feelings God had towards the world as far as love is concerned. In fact, as we understand Scripture, the Bible says very clearly that God has wrath towards sinful mankind. In fact, the one who has not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ has condemnation upon him, even in the context of John 3:16. I want you to notice another 3:16, 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. And let me just point out here that we would not know how to love according to God's love if it wasn't for God expressing his love for us. Why? We would just do eros and phileo. We would not understand how to express agape, selfless, highest form of love. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God. Here's how we know the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Also chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. There's actually a song that's been written from these two verses. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, why is it that there are so many failed marriages in our culture today? It's because there's only, in many cases, eros and phileo. And I want you to consider that this type of love is not understood by the unsaved. Notice with me 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Here's why our culture has so many failed marriages. It's because they cannot understand this kind of love. It says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, unhypocritical love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Notice, it's not until they have a relationship with Jesus Christ that somebody can even express this kind of love. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So again, this type of agape love cannot be understood by the unsaved. And let me just emphasize another aspect of this. That's why it's foolish for a believer to marry an unbeliever. All that unbelieving spouse can ever express is eros and phileo. They can never arrive at agape love between the two of them. And of course, as we understand, God is the source of this love. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So again, we cannot even express this kind of love until there's a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. No feelings are required with this kind of love. I just don't feel in love anymore. Well, then you're not talking about agape love. You're talking about eros or phileo. If somebody does not feel in love anymore, it's because they've not been expressing agape type of love. No feelings are required. God does not have feelings towards sinful mankind. He has agape love. There's a big difference there. Love is a command. 1 John chapter 4, verse 21. 1 John 4, verse 21. And again, this is why I say this is not a feeling. Love is not a feeling. It is an act of our will, act of obedience to God. 1 John 4:21. This is the, feeling we have from him? No, this is not a feeling. This is the commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Love is a command. We're to love God and love our fellow believers in Christ. Love is an action, not a reaction. For God so loved the world, he did not react to the world. God acted in love towards the world. Love is an action, not a reaction. And as I was even doing some reading, it was emphasized, most expressions of love in relationships are reactions to the actions of others. So in other words, if they're doing what I think they should in this relationship, then I react with love. But again, that's eros or that's phileo. That's not agape love. Agape love is like what God does. He loves us even though we are sinners. Even though we do not deserve the expression of his love. Love is a choice. Love is a commitment. Notice Romans chapter 5. I mentioned verse 8 and verse 5. Let's look at the context there. Romans chapter 5. Love is a commitment. Again, verse 5, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which he which is given unto us. When is the Holy Ghost given to us? He indwells us at the moment of salvation. That's why I say this kind of love is not understood until a person becomes a believer. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom now we have received the atonement, when we're at one with God. Now every one of us has imperfections. Now the problem with this love type of situation in the dating game is everyone tries to put on the perfect front in the dating game. And that's why there's such a rude awakening after marriage. When they have a look at reality. And again, I've joked about this, but there may be more truth to this than we realized that the Jewish man was not to work or go to war for 1 year. And the purpose for that was that he could cheer up his wife. Why? Because she realized what kind of scoundrel she married. Everyone has imperfections. And again, heading into marriage, we try to hide them. And I want you to think about the fact that because we try to hide them, our future spouse doesn't have a reality. I want you to consider that God's kind of love loves regardless of the circumstance. Another story here that Brother Benny shares, and there's really a tragic story. During the Korean War, the phone rang one day in a fashionable home on the east coast of the United States. To her astonished delight, the woman who answered the phone found herself speaking to her son. There had been long months of silence during his absence in Korea. And now she was both startled and delighted to hear that he was in San Diego on his way home. "Mom, I just wanted to let you know that I'm bringing a buddy home with me. He got hurt pretty bad. He has only one eye, one arm, and one leg. I'd sure like him to live with us." "Sure, son," she replied. "He sounds like a pretty brave man. We can find room for him for a while." "Mom, you don't understand. I want him to come live with us." "Well, okay," she relented. "We could try for 6 months or so." "No, Mom. I want him to stay always. He needs us. He's only got one arm, one leg, and one eye. He's in really bad shape." His mother lost patience. "Son, you're being pretty unrealistic about this. You're being emotional because you've been in war. That boy will drag on you and a problem for all of us. Be reasonable." Suddenly the phone clicked dead. The next day the parents received a crushing telegram from the Navy. They learned that the night before their son had leaped to his death from the 12th floor of a San Diego hotel. Later when they received the body, they looked down with unspeakable sorrow on the corpse of their one-eyed, one-armed, one-legged son. As I said, we have such a confused understanding of love because of our culture. "I love you because I love you if." That's the world's kind of love. God says, "I love you just because." Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand your kind of love. And Lord, may we not just seek to understand it, but may we seek to express it in our relationships. Lord, beginning in our homes and extending to our church and Lord, even to our neighborhoods. Do we have an understanding of your kind of love? So often, we love as a reaction, not as an expression of your love. We react to somebody else's love It's just a response. Father, I pray that you'd help us to have true agape love in our relationships. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.